A sermon on Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10, Jeremiah's call and commission. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Praise to you. The Lord be with you in good times and in troubling times, for both are holy. Today I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable. Vulnerable with yourself. I'm going to ask you to think about a time when you first experienced yourself as less than, not up to par. A time when you knew your difference most deeply. It's painful, isn't it? Painful in a way that only separation can cause. And this feeling, it's sticky, right? This feeling of being less than isn't something that you just forget or get over. It's there. The wound is present. For some of us sitting here today, the wound might not even be healed yet, even after years or decades. Maybe this less than demon is always there for you. For others, it might be balanced out by some privilege that you hold in the other spaces of your life. Some of you might even be resisting the reality that you've even felt less than, or that you're over it and moving on. No need to talk about it anymore. And all of these responses, they are so very core to being a human in the human world, separated from the unity that is God. We often choose to place ourselves there and then battle any movement to get back. And so when I read these verses out of Jeremiah, his call and commission is what we call it, I hear a similar response. I'm only a boy. It reminded me of a time when I felt less than. Let me share that with you today, my first understanding of what it meant to be less than. Because if we're going to be vulnerable with each other today, that includes me. So I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and we were living in Honolulu at the time. And Hickam Air Force Base was holding a come and see all the cool toys weekend for families. You were able to walk around on the tarmac and get into the planes, have pictures taken, and talk with real life pilots. Well, for me, who at that time knew in my bones I wanted to be a fighter pilot like the guys from Top Gun, this was a huge treat. And I waited in line for my turn to climb into the cockpit of a trainer plane. Nothing too fancy, but it was still exciting. When it was my turn, I confidently climbed up to the top of the stairs, and the pilot greeted me, all decked out in his flight suit. He asked me what I was interested in. And I said with the confidence of that only a 13-year-old can, "I'm going to fly fighter jets. How do I do that?" And I remember the look he gave me. Judgment. Smirk. Almost laughing. And he lifted his arm and he pointed to one of the large transport planes across the tarmac, a C-130, and said, "Girls usually fly those. You'd better go to college." For the first time, I felt every inch of my femaleness from skin to core. He then asked if I wanted to get into the cockpit. I turned around, saying to him as I went back down the stairs, "No, that's okay. I will find something else to try out." I don't remember much about the rest of the day, nor do I remember the conversation that I had with my parents, which I'm sure happened. You'd have to ask my mom about that. But I often wonder now, looking back, did that wound me enough that I'm not a fighter pilot? Or did that wound me in a way where I've made choices in my life to work to never allow others to feel less than in their own lives? Well, we all know I'm not a fighter pilot, but that doesn't mean I still don't get very excited when I see the F-22 Raptors taking off or landing at Hickam. That jump in my heart when they first take air and then just go up. Was this for Jeremiah as well then? When we read today his feelings about himself, were they just as fragile as ours? Just as separated from God that I felt that day on the tarmac, and that you might just feel right now? I am only. And then fill in the blank with all sorts of shortcomings, failings, and limits that get whispered in our ear by the accuser. What happens when everything you believe in or is lived by is smashed to bits by circumstances? Some options might include an abandonment of God. It's a valid response. It's a very real response. It's a response as old as time. Look around at our pews, or in this case, our Zoom boxes. We are missing people here in worship. We have been missing people for a few years now, I suspect, because it's easier to abandon something than to work at it, or truly believe you don't need to work at it, that it's already yours somehow, and that everyone else needs to just get in line. Another option is a stubborn grasping of the old collapsed system, holding on to it for dear life, trying to corral the illusion because, although painful, we know it and we're comfortable with it. Or maybe we reform our lives and listen to who God is, not who God wishes, not who we wish God to be. Right? So we listen to who God is, not to who we wish God to be. What then is God's response to Jeremiah? Take a look. Verse 7. God says, "Do not say you are only a boy." Do not say you're only a boy? How powerful is that? God is taking the person that Jeremiah is at the most basic and telling him that is the most important thing, the piece which God is most proud of. Then in verse 8, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Wow, right? How much do we need to hear that on a daily basis? God is with us. Remember verse 5? "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Everything that we do in this life, God has no need for. God has claimed us and knows us before all of that. We struggle our whole lives to try to be worthy of something, to be worthy of love, to get into heaven, to avoid going to hell. Whose standards are those? All I tend to hear out of Scripture is the opposite, that there is no struggle if we accept the gift. There is no divine checklist, no limited seating. That, in fact, is our struggle. It's our struggles that cause us to be distant from God. The exact opposite of what we are struggling for in the first place. I'm going to say that again. It's our struggles that cause us to be distant. Life is a cycle of plucking up, pulling down, and building up and planting. See, we don't like that paradox because it means that we have to be settled in unbalanced times. We have to understand and see ourselves, not through the lenses of others, but through the face of God. And that brings me to the 1 Corinthians passage that we read today about seeing in the mirror dimly and then seeing face to face, being known only in part versus as we are known in God's heart fully. Because see, a mirror can't see you fully. It's an object. It can only reflect what is brought in front of it. Just like that pilot could only see me in my girlness, my otherness. God sees differently. God sees us in our hearts. Sometimes we can see each other with our hearts as well. It's difficult, don't get me wrong, but it's possible. And I bet each one of us here has a story of when that happened and how powerfully that changed your understanding, maybe even your life. To abide in faith, hope, and love, that is a tall order. And yet we are free to fail at it. We are free to understand that in our failings of abiding in what is already ours, we become whole. What has been ours since before we were formed, we might just see. God knows we are more than only a boy, only a girl, only a sinner, only a saint, only fill in the blank that you want about yourself. And what if God said to you, you are not only fill in the blank. You are mine. You have always been mine, will always be mine. And the most powerful piece is that there is nothing we have to do, nothing you have to believe, nothing that you have to fail or succeed at. It's already done. Jesus came to show us in real life what that means because we weren't getting it. And Jesus is our Savior for more than just that salvation from sin. See, Jesus is our Savior because He works to save us from ourselves. He saves us by showing us the way, pushing on us to say, oh, really? Could it be different? And He says this over and over, knowing fully that the message will be resisted and devalued, discounted, that people will close their eyes and ears to it. And yet, Jesus will always turn right back around, walk right back down the hill, and find us again. He'll remind us again that we are not who we see in the mirror. We are what is seen by God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel message for today. You were loved before you were you. You are loved in the struggle to live as you. And even if just for a moment you can open your heart to these promises, separateness and otherness melt away. You are returned to the womb of God, the creator of the universe. Why would you ever want to leave that space again? You can't help but do the simple things that John the Baptist challenged us to do in response to this gift of connected, steadfast, eternal love. And that is where being a Christian comes to play. Remember those simple things? To be honest, to be kind, to work hard, and to love. To be honest, to be kind, to work hard, and to love. And we do these things because we are free, we are called, and we are commissioned. Thanks be to God. Amen.